If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn with me to the second chapter of Isaiah. And I want to read just a few verses of Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And turn with me also, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And I want to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 45. Luke, chapter 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And reading those verses from Isaiah chapter 2 and Luke chapter 24, I want to speak today about the journey of the gospel. I want to talk to you today about in this message, and I want to ask you to pray today that God would bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of the message to His honor and to His glory. But I want to talk to you today about what I believe is the most important thing that anybody is ever privileged to hear in this life, and that's the gospel. You can hear a lot of news. You can certainly read a lot of news in the newspaper. You can hear a lot of things. And of course, in our day, we have a very advanced media, and they get a lot of things out to people. A lot of it we don't want to hear. But the gospel is the good news, the best of news. Because it's not just the gospel, it's the gospel of Christ. And so it's the best thing that anybody could ever hear. And I believe that the Scriptures will support that in that what it is that the gospel is able to do. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so in the gospel, we are able to learn and we're able to know what God has done for us, in order that we can be saved. And we also know through the preaching of his word what he requires of us in order for us to be saved. And I want to say something about the scriptures that I read from Isaiah chapter 2, where it talked about the mountain of the Lord's house being established in the last days. I am persuaded that Isaiah was foretelling of a future kingdom that was going to come, the Lord's church. And he was giving us and did give us a prophecy of the kingdom that was to come and to be established in the last days. And also in these verses, he told us that this would be the institution that the Lord would entrust with the gospel. Because he said that the Lord's house was going to be established. And he also said that out of Zion would go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then again in Luke chapter 24, in Luke's account of the Great Commission, we find there in verse 47 that Jesus commissioned the church, instructed the church that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And I want to, before I go any further in the message, I want to express my own thankfulness for the gospel. Thank God for the good news. Thank God that that good news that can come to and be as cold water to a thirsty soul. Thank him for the gospel message. And also thank God for those that have carried the gospel throughout the years. So I want to speak about this beginning, the word of the Lord going forth, beginning at Jerusalem, and the journey that it has taken along the way. And these scriptures that we have read in Isaiah, he prophesied of the coming of this kingdom some 700 years thereabouts before the time that Christ came into the world and established the church. And Luke spoke about the gospel repentance and remission of sins being preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem, which started about 2,000 years approximately, about 2,000 years ago. So we're not talking about a new message. When you talk about the gospel, we're not talking about a new message. We're talking about an old message. We're talking about something that has been around for thousands of years. And you know, there are times and when you study history, when you read the history that's contained in the scriptures and the history of the church that men have written, I understand that throughout time that things have changed in the way that churches have conventionally done things, traditionally done things. No doubt there have been changes in our traditions along the way. But I'll tell you something that I'm persuaded that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ did from the very time of her establishment there in Jerusalem unto this very day is that she has preached the gospel of Christ. She has upheld the gospel. We're not today here to bring a new message or talk about a new message. We're here today to talk about something that Christ preached when he was in the world. We're here to talk about something that the apostles preached. when they were here in the world, and the Bible teaches me that the church is built upon the foundation of Christ, of the apostles and the prophets. That's the foundation that we stand on. And the gospel has everything to do with that foundation. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we learn, and you can read, I believe, in Matthew chapter 10, that there was a time while the Lord was here on the earth with His church, there was a time when He put boundaries upon where they were to take the gospel. It's commonly known and referred to as a limited commission. And you can read, as I said, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, when Christ was on the earth, that He told them not to go unto any of the cities of the Gentiles, not to go there to the Samaritans, but to go and preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there again in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul spoke about not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, he said, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so there was a time when the Lord kept them within certain boundaries, and He kept them close to Him for about 3 years during His personal ministry on the earth. And He told them to go and to take the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then we read in the scriptures that when Christ was crucified, when Jesus was on the cross, that the veil of the temple tore in two. It was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And there may be, people may have a lot of different ideas about that. But to me, I believe what it signified was an opening of access for all people. We all have access to the blessings of the gospel. And so as the gospel message began its journey there in Jerusalem from that first church that was set up, we find that after that Jesus had been crucified, and after He had risen from the dead, and after He had proved Himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, He came to His church again, and He said to them, and you can find this recorded in the last chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And He sent them out to take the gospel into those places where He had before told them not to go. He, after His resurrection, He commissioned His church to go and to preach the gospel everywhere and to every creature. And thus this great message began the journey. And you can read in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus had told them, let me back up just a little bit. Jesus had told them, as we have read here in the 24th chapter of Luke, He had told His church to tarry, to be patient, to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And you read there in the opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles how that this great promise came upon them. The Holy Spirit of God came down from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it came upon them and empowered them. And I believe that that was the promise that the Lord had told them to wait for. But then we can find in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Acts that the church there at Jerusalem, that they were gathered together and they had all things common, and there seemed to be great contentment among them, and they had placed, those that had sold their possessions, and they had placed things into a common treasury, and things were distributed unto them as every one had need. And it seemed that there was a contentment there among them. But then there was something that happened in the eighth chapter of the Gospel of Acts that you can read about as well. And the Bible tells us there that there was a great persecution that came against the church at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad, and except for the apostles. And I want you to remember that in this message, that the church there at Jerusalem, because of this great persecution, they were scattered abroad. And they went out into the regions of Judea and Samaria. And the Bible says that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, again, it tells us that the apostles remained there, except for the apostles. They stayed there in Jerusalem. And I said that to make a point. I don't know what every individual here believes today. And I certainly don't intend to be offensive to anybody, but I want to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. There have been those that have believed and have stated their belief that they think that you have to hear the gospel from a God-called preacher. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the gospel and the authority and the responsibility to carry the gospel was given to the church. And the church goes forth preaching the gospel. Now, is everyone called into the ministry? No. God does call men into the ministry, and the Bible tells us why he does. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. And many people have heard the gospel through a God-called preacher. But there have also been many that have heard it through a witness, such as the Samaritan woman at the well when she went down there into the city and told them, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That was quoted in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the church go out. Friends, I'll tell you, when the preacher stands up and delivers a message, perhaps about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, as far as I'm concerned, he's spreading the gospel. When the child of God goes out to people and tells their experience of what the Lord has done for them in saving their soul, as far as I'm concerned, they're spreading the gospel. The gospel is telling people about Jesus and what he's able to do. It's the good news that a Savior has come and given his life and rose from the dead that we might be able to be saved. And it can be conveyed through the preacher preaching the message, and it can be conveyed through the lay member telling their experience of salvation. And I'm glad that the Lord made it that way, aren't you? I'm glad that he's had a mighty army in the world. They that went there, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I don't believe that it meant necessarily that they were all God-called preachers. They went out proclaiming the gospel of Christ into these areas, and people were saved. And there were churches established, and the gospel message continued and continued. Now, I want to speak for just a moment about the persecution. And I suppose that I could go ahead at this point and state my objective in this message, and one of the main thoughts that I wanted to convey today as I continue on in this is that I'm so thankful that in the journey of the gospel that it made it to us. Because the devil tried everything he could to stop it. I mean, he tried everything he could to stop this message of truth from going forth. We find in the ninth chapter of Acts, the Bible begins to tell us about one of the devil's workers, one of those that was furiously trying to stop the gospel message. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. And this man was a great persecutor, and he was responsible for many of the followers of Christ, many of the members of the Lord's church being put to death. He hated those people, and he was persecuting those people to death. And we find that he stood when Stephen was stoned. We find that Paul stood there and consented unto his death. They laid the clothes there at his feet, and he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. But thank God for Stephen's witness there that day. And thank God that this great opponent of the gospel, this great persecutor of the church of Christ, not too long after that, as he made his way to Damascus, that same gospel that he was trying to stop, friend, I'll tell you, it got him. It got him. And he brought him down, and he was saved and became a great preacher of the gospel. I'll tell you what, the devil has risen up in every generation. The devil has risen up and tried to stop the gospel message from going forth. But thank God that no matter what he tried, no matter how fierce that he attacked it, no matter how hard that he came against the Lord's church and the message that they were carrying, thank God he never has been able to stop it. And I'll tell you something, I don't believe that he ever will. I'm convinced. Sometimes the term believe may not be strong enough. I'm convinced that this gospel will be preached until the Lord comes back for his church. Somebody somewhere in the world will be proclaiming the truth. You know, there were times that, and there were hundreds of years, even in excess of a thousand years, when there was just bitter persecution against those that carried the truth of God's word. It began there just shortly after that the church began to take it forth from Jerusalem. This persecution began. You can go to the first few chapters of the Revelation, and you can see there, reading about the churches there in Asia Minor, you can see how that the devil had already gained a foothold, and there were things in those churches before the end of that very century that should not have been among them. And the devil was trying with all of his evil fury to stop what the Lord was sending forth, but he never got it done. Sometimes he would greatly hinder it. If he was given too much leeway by the people of God, sometimes he would greatly hinder it. Sometimes there would be churches that, you know, perhaps they would not watch close enough, and they would be shut down. The doors would shut down, and perhaps the gospel did not go forth from them anymore, but somewhere it would emerge. Perpetual journey throughout time. There were many people, and I think that it would behoove us all to be reminded from time to time that there were many people that had such an awesome love for the gospel. And if it would not have been for them, we wouldn't have had it. And if it would not have been for the Lord preserving those people and enabling those people to go through the things that they went through, we wouldn't have had it, because they suffered such horrible persecution. I mean, if you could imagine, because of what you are believing and because of what you are promoting, if you could imagine being taken and tied up to a stake somewhere and just have a fire lit under your feet in order to silence your voice, if you could imagine having such a love for the gospel that you would be willing to just go through those things rather than denounce your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and rather than give up the things that he had instructed you and told you to carry on. What a great love that those people had for us. They didn't even know us. They never got to meet us. But I believe that they had a vision of a time when there would be people that would come after them that would need the gospel the way that they needed it. And I hope and pray that as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, that we'll always be consciously aware of that fact, that we'll never lose grasp of that, that if God allows time to go on, that there's going to be people after us that are going to need to hear the gospel. And I hope and pray that we'll all be willing to do whatever it takes that it might be preserved for future generations. I bow my head and humble my heart in memory of those like Stephen, those like the apostles, those like Paul, who gave up his life for it, who wrote to Timothy in his last days and said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith, and gave his life up for it. I'm thankful that he passed it on to men like Timothy. I'm thankful for the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy when he realized that his days were coming to an end, that the time that he was going to be martyred was right there at hand. And he wrote this epistle to the young preacher Timothy, and he said, Timothy, you preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine. I think Paul knew that Timothy no doubt would face things just the way that he did for upholding it. But listen, Paul loved the gospel more than he loved Timothy's life. You go preach it. You may suffer for it. You may die for it. But you go preach it. I believe those people that we read about, they love the gospel more than they love their own lives. They love the gospel more than they love the lives of others. They love the Lord supremely. They love the Lord above everything else in life. And that's the way that we ought to be. It came to our shores after, I said, hundreds of years of bitter persecution. It came to our shores It made it here. It got here. It had a long journey. It left a trail of blood behind it, but thank God that it got here. And even when it came here to our country, even when it hit the shores of New England and began to spread into Virginia and other places, even there in the state of Virginia, here in our own country, Baptist preachers were persecuted for promoting and preaching the gospel. They were put in jail, according to history. Thank God none of those brethren there in Virginia actually lost their lives, but they were very mistreated, and they were in prison for preaching the gospel. And you can read about times in American history when there were the magistrates, the law would come in, and they would arrest and apprehend their pastor during service and take him away for preaching the gospel. But thank God that it did not daunt their spirits and cause them to give up. Listen, friends, you can be assured that the devil is going to try, even in our present day, you can be assured he's going to try to stop us from preaching the gospel. We don't have the things to battle with that those people did. It seems to me that when I read about it, those people went through such horrid trials in order to preserve it. And it seems that with their lives, in the midst of all their persecution, it seems that with their lives that they benefited the gospel more than what we have with our freedom. And that ought to tell us something. Every time the devil succeeded in one of them being put to death, I've read it in history. Every time he would succeed in one of those servants of Christ being put to death, the Lord would raise up 10 more somewhere else, and the gospel would just carry on and carry on and go about her journey. And listen, one day, I've thought about this many times. You know what? Thank God for his blessings through the gospel. You know what? This is a big world that we live in. A big world. There's a huge population in this world. There's a lot of people that inhabit the face of the earth. And they're born into all different types of situations, into all different types of cultures, into all different types and under all different types of religious beliefs. And I've thought so many times how in all this big world that I was privileged to be born. And from the very days of my childhood to hear the truth of the gospel. What a great privilege. What a wonderful thing that there from Jerusalem. And, you know, time would, we wouldn't be able to take the time to name all of it, but they're from Jerusalem and through many, many countries throughout time and through bitter persecution and through all sorts of infiltration by the devil trying to stop it, that the gospel came to the shores of this great country that you and I live in. And it began from that very point to spread all over the country. And one day it made it to Kentucky. One day it made it to Indiana. Thank God for the journey that the devil just couldn't stop. He just couldn't stop it. I want you to know something today. If you're here and you're lost and without God, you don't even realize what a great blessing that you have to hear the gospel. You are privileged today to hear something that people have fought to the bitter end to preserve. You know what the most important part of it is, of all of it is though? Even more important than those that have preserved it through the years, the most important thing of all is the one that it tells us about. The nucleus of the message of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing of all. It's not nearly as important what you and I may have to do to keep it going and to help it along the journey and to keep it alive. What we may have to face is not nearly as important as what it's about. It's about Jesus and what He did for you and what He will do for you if you'll come and seek Him and trust Him with all your heart. What a blessed privilege that you have to be among people that have upheld the truth of the gospel. There are so many people in the world today that are trying to pervert it. We're not under physical persecution, at least not right now. I'm not so sure that it won't happen again. But we're not under physical persecution the way that our forefathers were in the past. But don't ever think that the devil's not still working as hard as he can to stop the gospel message. He has succeeded because he has been allowed to. He has succeeded here in our country with so many churches that once lit the lamp of the purity of the gospel, and now they don't tell the truth anymore. So many cases where that's happened. Thank God that you have the privilege of the truth of the gospel. To be seated among people that when you seek the Lord, won't settle for anything short of you being able to relate your own experience with Christ. What a wonderful thing that that's still happening, that there's still people that uphold that. Been a great price paid for it. Those that died for it were privileged. I'll tell you that, they were privileged. You get to die for the Lord, it's a privilege. And thank God for all those that were willing to preserve it even with their very lives. I'm glad it came to me. I can think back when I was just a boy to those preachers I heard among those churches up there in Indianapolis that got up and they just hammered the gospel. Bible says the word of the Lord's like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Boy, I mean, they just beat on my heart with the gospel. And one day it broke. It broke. Got me. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Brother, let's have a song. I'd like to ask the congregation to stand and let's have a song. Thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number